America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there and call it good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Oh, hey, welcome in. Happy Monday, everybody.
Look, everybody back in the same building.
That's right. That's right. First time since last Tuesday we've all been together.
Right?
Yeah. How was everybody's weekend? Yeah,
I miss your mask.
Wow. Thank you. I think when this is done, we should get an apartment together.
There we go.
Oh, man. Everybody have a good weekend?
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Today be in.
Mine was eventful.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You went up to Forks, Washington.
We
Twilight.
Drove up to Forks.
Did you come back all sparkly?
My wife was...
werewolves?
Yeah. My wife was showing an apartment, or not an apartment, but a property up there outside of town. And yeah, it was an adventure. We did all the Forksy Twilight stuff and drove past Bella's house and all
what
that.
What do they do still? I mean, we are...
They have a sign in front of the Swan House.
Okay.
Yeah, they do it. They treat it just like the Goonies house used to before those other people bought it, right?
Except the Swan House is more accessible than the Goonies house is.
Oh, okay.
Because the Goonies house is like basically up at the end, like on a cliff.
Oh, that's right. You got to kind of like work your way up there.
And,
huh?
Yeah. This one is just like kind of on a regular block in town.
It's a big house, isn't it?
No.
It's not?
No, it's not. It looks much larger in the movie than when you pull up to it. It really
angles,
does not
man.
Look that big. Yeah. Angles.
Angles, dude.
It's all about the angle of the dangle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
Yeah. And on the way through, we realized that we drove through Aberdeen. So on the way back home, we drove past, we went to Kurt Cobain's childhood home.
Of course.
Oh, I thought you were saying you were looking for meth.
As one does. You go by Kurt Cobain's old house.
Yeah. We had a fun experience at one of the local establishments in Forks the other night.
Okay. Mm. Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, whoa.
I mean, fun. We'll go with air quotes there. So we went to go get some French fries and onion rings and some milkshakes and such, right? And I'm standing in line, and there's a couple people waiting behind me because it's a little bit pokey because there's like three 17-year-old girls running everything in the joint. So whatever, it's all good. You get patient, and you're waiting for your French fries and milkshake. The two people behind me, one guy talks about how he drove in from Port Angeles that morning at 4 a.m.
All right.
And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound like, I don't think that's that far, but.
It is not.
Yeah. And the gal next to him says how she drove in from Vancouver. And I guess I assumed it was this Vancouver and not the other one.
BC, my dude.
But who knows? And I said, oh, we came in from Portland this morning. We drove in from Portland. And she looks at me. She goes, I hate Portland.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. She goes, yeah, my cousin got murdered there.
Oh. Wow, that's a pivot.
That's
right?
That's a certain escalation.
Yeah, okay.
Sure. I was like, well, yeah, that seems like a, yeah, that's a fairly... reasonable response to that.
Yeah. Why do you, what do you say to that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I was like, that seems fairly reasonable, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, that place is awful. It's, I'm never going back there. That place can fall off the planet for all I care. It's like, okay.
Okay. All right. So you're not from across the river.
Yeah.
You're from across the border.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back and wait for my Sprite now.
That's very awkward.
Just right out of, I mean, that was a, just, yeah. Right out of the gate.
Okay. Now, was she a person that seemed...
No.
No. Was she open to conversation before that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was nice.
Yeah. Very chatty. Yeah. And but especially with the dude behind me who... He was saying how he had been retired for a few months, but he still came in one of those fluorescent orange, roadside vests.
Okay.
So he's retired, but he's wearing the vest.
Well, yeah, I don't think you retire the vest. You just retire from the industry, so, right? Mm. You retire from the work. You don't retire from the life. It's a warm jacket, right? Rust. Yeah. Those things are warm and waterproof. You want me to go on any further? And guess what? He can cross that street. People are going to see him. You don't got to be worried about, cars running you down because the reflective orange vest.
He will be seen. Absolutely. And
and he can go hunting. I can go. I can keep going on and speak to the benefits of the fluorescent
orange. Well, as long as you find the spots where you can go hunting, because everything you see there is signs along the sides of the roads that say no trespassing, no hunting.
Yeah. All right, yeah. So how did you rebound from that? Did you Did you end up having any sort of other conversation with her, or do you just slink off?
No, I kind of just turned around and turned my back and waited for the Sprite.
Yeah.
Because the only reason why I was in that line again was because we realized we neglected to order a beverage for our tiny child. So, we got 3 milkshakes and french fries and onion rings, and I was like, oh,
we got a fourth.
It's like, we forgot to get you a drink. Why didn't you speak up? So, I was just waiting for a single Sprite.
Yikes, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to put myself, I'm sure Danny, you have been in that situation more times than we can count. I don't know if I have been in anything that awkward where you're just like, I mean, there are always the people that will say something awkward and you don't know how to really get out of the conversation or smooth it over at times. But when somebody goes, I hate Portland. My cousin was murdered there.
Yeah, getting out of that one's tough.
do you go?
I was like, well,
Are you talking downtown? Are we talking Gresham? Because I'm from the west side. I'm from Beaverton.
I did gonna say I'm out in the burbs.
Yeah.
So,
are we talking west side? Were we North Portland? What happened here? Is she wanting you to ask what happened?
Yeah, well, guess what? I did not ask about the specifics of how her cousin was murdered.
I think maybe my gut instinct and initially what I thought was, I'm sorry to hear that. That has not happened to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been murdered. I'm doing okay.
How do we transition out of that?
Exactly. That's the whole thing. Yeah.
You go, man, I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah.
I'm alive. I've never had that problem. I'm murder free.
Yeah. Literally what I said was that sounds like a good reason to not like that place.
Oh.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Never going back. I hope it burns in hell.
The Vancouver Ford text line is, they've got a lot of different answers to this.
Different ways here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure how many we can read on the air.
Well, other than that, our visit to Forks, other than that, was largely it was very enjoyable.
Event free.
We had a good time.
All right.
The Forks Motel, lovely.
Mm. There's a distinct lack of drugs here, and that's I think what the problem is.
In Portland or Forks?
No, in both Aberdeen and Forks. I feel like those are both places that recently I've heard the uptick of meth and fentanyl there have been particularly Aberdeen. Isn't Aberdeen the meth capital of...
At one point,
not even the state, the
per
country.
Capital.
Yeah. We drove past some interesting characters there in Aberdeen. Yeah.
I know a gal from
Forks. There might have been a human wheelbarrow at one point. It was weird.
Tell me more.
I wish I could.
Mm.
The FCC prohibits that explanation.
Yeah. There were 3 people there, and... At least 2 were involved in some sort of a wheelbarrow thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Again, I will tell you.
It's not quite a human centipede thing. But
the
no, it wasn't that.
The two times that I have been like, uh-oh, this isn't good. One time I was in college and we were down in the Bay Area and we were going to meet up with somebody and we ended up lost in East Oakland.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Not only were we lost, we needed gas. We stop at the gas station and there's a guy working like he, you know, the little kiosk in between the pumps there.
Yeah, the one that's behind the bulletproof glass.
Yes. There were bars and bulletproof glass. Yes.
Were there?
And the guy goes, what are you doing here, Whitey? And I said, need some gas. He goes, I would get it fast or somewhere else. And I was like, oh. And so we got gas and we left there. I appreciated his honesty, though. It was like immediate, just like
the Griswolds in East St. Louis. All right, kids, roll up your windows.
Yeah.
Click.
Yeah.
Click.
And then the other time that I was going, oh boy. My wife and I went to Houston. We were going to watch the Astros and the Cardinals play in a series in Houston. And we get the directions and we put them in the phone, right? And the first one was just, we didn't know where we were. This was before you had Waze. This was, you know, we were going on our own here. This one in Houston, Waze was like toll roads or not toll roads. And my wife goes, we'll avoid the toll roads. Bad idea. We ended up running on this road that was like parallel to the highway, and the highway is elevated and we're going underneath it. And we roll up to a stop sign, and I look to the left. There was a man, when you said human wheelbarrow, it reminded me of this. There was a man shoved into a garbage can. Like, all that was sticking out, his legs and his arms were sticking out of a garbage can. And I was like, what is going on here? We look, we go up a block, another stoplight, and there is a circle of cars with their headlights on, like facing in, and a dog like limping down the street. And I was like, I don't know if we want to be. So I just started running stop signs, running red lights. And my wife is like, well, we're going to get pulled over. I go, not the worst thing right now.
No, that's probably the safest thing.
Yeah. We got to a rough part of Houston that, and so
it's like your
long
feet
story
gone,
short, we take the toll roads now.
Your feet would have gone through the floorboards like Fred Flintstone if they could have.
Yeah.
Just let's go.
Yeah. But I've never seen the human wheelbarrow. I've seen literally a man shoved into a garbage can, though.
Yeah, I remember I pointed out to my wife. I was like, what is going on over there? And she's like, let's just keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going. Let's drive.
Well, see different parts of the country, huh?
Yeah. I think I'm good with Aberdeen now.
I took a friend to the In-N-Out Burger by where I grew up. And he was like, man, why are the windows here so dirty? It's like there's bugs smashed everywhere. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, right here. And he touched the window. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
that's not a bug.
That's not a bug. That's a bullet lodged in the bulletproof glass. And he was like, what? I go, yeah.
Here we go.
He's like, you're kidding. No. Well, what about that made you think that was a bug?
Yeah, that mean you think it might be a bug.
I've never seen the blood leave somebody's face faster than in that moment. He was just like, what do you mean?
Mm.
It's like,
yeah,
that's,
I guess as far as people hating
my home,
as far as people hating Portland and not wanting to come back, P1 Farhad on the old Vancouver Ford text line. I was having a conversation with a bartender in Vancouver, BC. He said he hates Portland because he got caught selling crack and he's banned from there for that.
Well,
or banned from the U.S. for that. Excuse me. That's why he hates Portland, because he got caught selling crack here.
I think that we should use that as like, you know, the Chamber of Commerce now, you know, cracking down on that.
Cracking down on crack.
That's right. That's right. That's one hell of a reason to hate a city. Like, you know what? They wouldn't even let me sell crack there.
Yeah, when?
You know, I go down the United States, land of the free. That's something.
I hear y'all can get mushrooms and stuff, but man, I can't sell any crack.
I don't know if he should. I don't know if he should be in the position to be upset about the United States or Portland for that matter.
Y'all want to buy some drugs?
I think the lady you ran into, she's got a legitimate gripe with our fine city.
I mean, I get it. Yeah. It's
yeah. The bartender getting upset for being a drug dealer.
Yeah.
And our police, and then our country saying, no, the boot, go back up north. I don't think he's got a legitimate argument there.
No, as somebody who was with somebody when they got escorted out of another country.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, the funny thing about this is it's happened three different times in three different countries.
Of course.
My buddy got hit with a drunken disorderly after a fight in Canada. And the Mounties...
That's what happens when you go up there when you're 19 to drink legally.
You're not wrong.
Super troopers. we're going to get some fries and gravy, sir.
And a liter of cola.
A liter of cola.
Yeah, sure, sir.
They put us in the car and drove us down to the border and stamped his passport and said, don't ever come back.
Yeah, well, I bet that's... Bet it's earned.
Oh, yeah. It was interesting having a police escort, both front and behind us, up to the border.
Yikes.
Where we were handed off to the Border Patrol.
We're going to make sure y'all leave.
Yeah. Don't come back.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
The funny part about this, of course, is he was born in the States but raised abroad because he was a brat. So he had, like, dual citizenship and him getting tossed
out of both places.
No, him getting tossed out of the country like made his dual citizenship like kind of up for grabs, kind of a deal. And he had to fight over it for years. And
so he had to like live in an airport. No, is this the terminal?
Yeah, the terminal. No,
are you describing the movie The Terminal?
He did have to go to the U.S. Embassy more than a few times to
man, that sucks.
Sort a bunch of stuff out.
But, did he live in a Tim Hortons?
I think that is play stupid. Games win stupid prizes.
Oh yes,
right? Yeah, right there.
He won the grand prize.
Mm.
So you want to get let back in, eh?
He's a doctor now.
Of what?
Like, yeah, is this like a medical doctor, yes, or is this like a?
Is this like
in
the doctor?
Arts?
No, he
had no other options, so he's like a doctor of art,
a practicing.
Well, or is this the doctor you find in the row of tents underneath I-405?
Yeah, no, a practicing general practitioner. As crazy as it is,
yikes!
Yeah.
Yikes.
That's the fun thing about getting old is that you have friends who, they mature, they figure stuff out. Like, I've got friends now that are full-blown colonels that are, you know, up for their boards to become a one-star general, and I'm just sitting there going, I know how I can stop that from happening.
God.
I have one photo that will keep you from getting promoted.
And this is my get out of jail free card. Quite literally.
It's like... Yeah, it's always interesting when you look back and you go, yeah, we did some really stupid stuff, and now you're in charge of things.
Mm.
A lot of things. Very important things. And you're just like...
Not good.
Oh, wow. How did that happen?
Ugh. All right. Well, hey, let's get this show on the road. We got a lot of sports to get to. This isn't just
There's
a travel show.
So much.
We've got other things.
We're going to get that travel sponsorship so we can get those sweet, sweet miles.
Long story short, Forks was actually fun.
Yeah,
we had a good time.
Good. You've really sold me on it.
Twilight.
Hey, that was one lady who was just apparently traveling through.
Yeah.
She was Canadian.
Yeah,
she wasn't even from
And again, we don't know. All she said was Vancouver. I assumed it was the one right across from
you. Never know. You never know. We got a wild weekend in the NFL that we need to discuss. Some big-time injuries. Oh, weird. No way. Big-time injuries continuing to happen. And a lot of teams finding their stride. Meanwhile, others continue to hit the skids. We got that we got to get to. College football wild weekend. The college football playoff initial rankings come out tomorrow. And boy, was there some shifting and sliding. Some making their job easier, others making it far more difficult to find out who the best 12 teams in college football are for the playoff, which will be unveiled in about a month. We're like a month away from that. Giddy up.
Crazy.
Let's go. So we got a ton that we need to get to. In the Portland Trailblazers over the weekend, this is what we're talking about, huh?
Mm.
This is what we're talking about. Some bright spots and some slam your head against the wall moments as well. But we'll talk about the hometown team, where we got to start a big win in the big house for the Oregon Ducks. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Oregon Ducks head to Ann Arbor, and they return with a 38-17 victory over the Michigan Wolverines. 9-0 on the year, and controlling their own destiny now for the Big Ten title game, because we'll dive into it a little bit later. Ohio State knocking off Penn State. It means if Oregon wins out, the computers will not determine who goes to the Big Ten championship game. All you got to do is win out. And you're in, because there's two unbeatens remaining in conference play. They are Oregon and, as we all thought at the beginning of the year, Indiana.
As everybody thought.
Yeah, they are Oregon and Indiana. But the Ducks' 38-17 win over the Wolverines, an impressive one for Oregon because of, I think that we saw, we always talk about this with football being the war of attrition. Oregon ran into that in that game in Michigan, and it hit really early with the injury to Tez Johnson. Tez Johnson goes down after his one and only catch on the opening drive with what appears to be a shoulder injury. You know, I wish I did have some more insight or more details. I don't.
You don't speak cryptic IG post?
I don't speak cryptic IG post, and like
How's your Dragon Ball Z knowledge?
I don't know the Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah,
because Tez updated his IG from he had a Dragon Ball Z picture. I think it was just Goku, and now it's Goku in the rehabilitation chamber.
I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, there you go. Some anime for you.
I have no idea what you just said.
There you go.
What does that mean? Can you translate that for me?
I think it means he's recovering.
Okay. That injury looms large, though.
Clark?
He is a valuable wide receiver in what everything that Oregon does. I mean, you look at the way, not just his production with how many catches that he has, but the way he moves defenses in when they use him in motion, and the gravity that he pulls with him from a defense. It's invaluable at times with Oregon and making life easier for Dylan Gabriel. It simplifies reads when you put him in motion, how linebackers and safeties move. It gives you the tells and coverage because you have got to account for 15 at any given time. You can't just play Oregon straight up when he's on the field because his speed and his football savviness to get open, find soft spots, it's something that defenses have to respect, and they have to move when he moves. And so when that injury happened and he comes off the field, goes
like saying, when I dip, you dip, we dip.
Yeah. Goes up the tunnel. And I know that CBS caught him on the sidelines in street clothes and with the sling on. You know, you go, all right, that's not good. And the way that he came off the field, just with my knowing of having a shoulder that dislocates all the time. When you dislocate your shoulder, your arm's just hanging, right? When you grab up on the jersey and you kind of hold it up tight to you like that, that screams to me either AC joint or collarbone. you know, your clavicle.
Yeah. All things you don't want to damage.
Yeah, you're trying to alleviate that pressure, and that he stress, landed yeah. straight on it. And when your arm is hanging, your clavicle is bearing a lot of that load. So you grab the jersey, been there, and you just try to hold on to it. That's not good.
No.
AC joint would be better, but still not good.
If you're looking glass half full, that Trayshon Holden guy was pretty good.
Trayshon Holden was very good. And I thought that this is why I think that it was an impressive win in the way that Oregon did it is you score more points than anybody scored on Michigan all season long, including Texas. That was humming at the beginning of the
year.
And
you didn't hear Mason Graham's name almost at all.
Yeah, other than when the other injury happened, when Marcus Harper comes off and his knee, and you know, thankfully he was walking around on the sideline mm-hmm. with like an ice pack on, and you know, I know they showed him get up, walk off the field, and all that stuff. And you know, Dan Lanning said, you know, after the game, he said he was good. He was going to try. I didn't hear Lanning's post game presser, but apparently he said something along the lines of he's good to go. I read that on Twitter. He's told Lanning he's going to be good to go or whatever. That's good, right? Then when you have a guy who is walking up and down the sidelines after the injury with ice on his knee, that was gnarly, though. You get rolled up on, that's every offensive lineman's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, that is bad. But the only time we heard Mason Graham really was they brought in Kawiko Rogers mm-hmm. off the bench cold, and Mason Graham lines right up over him.
It's like, thank you very much.
I mean, that is... That's an inenviable task. It doesn't matter who you are. If you've got that man lined up over you and you come right off the bench and you're like, all right, first snap of the game, hoo boy. And he just bull rushed you.
Here's a top five draft pick.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
It was Chris Jones when, God, what was that? Was that in the playoffs last year? Where they were going against somebody and their offensive line was beat up and he was just playing find me a rookie? Or was that this season?
I can't remember.
But you know what I'm talking
about. Chris Jones does that.
It was the same thing of like,
yeah.
Oh, no, you're going to be food for me now.
Yeah. But the way that Oregon overcame, you know, that injury. And then, look, Rogers did settle in after that play against Graham because he was on the field when they went 90 yards down the field and ended up getting that final touchdown, which we do need to discuss. But Trayshon Holden, Evan Stewart, and then Justice Lowe and the emergence of Justice Lowe, that... when you have a game plan that is obviously anytime that you have Tez Johnson, you're going to build a lot of your game plan around it. They were able to continue to move the ball, continue to play efficiently, and continue to put up points. And Trayshon Holden with 149 yards in that game. This is a guy that it wasn't just the spitting incident against Ohio State, right? Where he did not play against Purdue the next week. But he has seen his snap count go down because Justice Lowe went out and he grabbed that job. And he has been playing really well. And the emergence of Justice Lowe, along with Trayshon Holden being explosive still, Evan Stewart still being explosive, that was a bright spot because it wasn't like Tez Johnson got injured late in the game. He got injured early in that thing, and they weathered that storm and still played really well. They played really well offensively.
I looked at that game, and Will Johnson not playing sucked because I really wanted to see what that could do to Oregon and how they would deal with that. But the biggest takeaway for me is that you didn't hear Kenneth Grant or Mason Graham.
Yep.
You didn't hear their names all game. That to me is the biggest signifier of where Oregon is at right now, because those two guys are day one top 10 NFL draft picks.
They did the same thing against Ohio State too. Yep.
And you didn't. And that's the thing. It's like, not to say, is it a fluke? It's more of, okay, is this a thing that's absolutely no doubt?
Yeah.
They are there with them in the trenches. And the answer is yes. And I think that's the thing more than anything, because Oregon has always been able to get skill position guys, whether they're the number one top tier guys in every class, or finding the diamonds in the rough and exploiting what they can do from the Chip Kelly era on. From Mario Cristobal on, the work in the trenches has been exponential year after year after year, and they are at the point now where they can hang with anybody there. Not just hang with anybody. They can dictate terms. And that's when you finally know this is a no-doubt absolutely dyed-in-the-wool contender for a national title.
And no sacks for Michigan in the game. Dylan Gabriel clean in the pocket, but Dylan Gabriel also, when he did feel the pressure, was elusive. And again, Gabriel put together a clean game when they need it. 23 or 22 of 34, 294, a touchdown, three runs, touchdown run again for Dylan Gabriel, taking kind of what the defense is dictating he takes from them, but always keeping his eyes downfield. You know, Evan Stewart had a touchdown that was on TV, apparently looked like it was not a touchdown. That was really hard to see because I was in the back corner of the end zone right next to the back judge. And Evan Stewart's back, it blocked it. It looked like he just got underneath it. And by the way, the placement on that ball.
Well, I mean, it literally went under his arm.
Under the defender's arm.
Yeah, it was insane.
Everybody's four straight weeks we've seen those throws from him.
Everybody said, like, what a catch from Evan Stewart. I'm going, what a catch? What do you mean, what a catch? What a throw!
Dude.
Good Lord. He literally put it in a window underneath his arm.
You see the numbers of a defender on his back. You throw that ball where only your guy can get it because he's not looking. He's not. You can make that throw. Gabriel has done that. Yeah. The Noah Whittington, the Evan Stewart against Ohio State, had another one against Illinois, then this one against Michigan. He has made four of those throws.
He's got an insane ability to be precise on those short throws to the outside. But I am stunned. Stunned that they didn't go to the booth for that because it wasn't close. It wasn't like a, that's like the whole ball hit the ground.
Yeah.
It's like all the scoring plays are supposed to get a quick little, hey, we good here? Yeah, keep it moving.
And it took them a while because they went swinging gate after that on the extra point.
And you would think that.
No review. But I mean,
does it change the entirety of the game? Probably not.
No,
but,
it doesn't.
You know, it's one of those things where you go, huh.
You can take that one off, but how about we give him the one-hander in the back of the end zone when Gabriel was scrambling around?
Yeah.
That was insane. And there's linemen downfield, I get it. But that catch was... You talk about difficulty level, infinity on that. That was ridiculous what Evan Stewart did, and they weathered that storm. And Gabriel also continued to take care of the ball in games of consequence and times of consequence, right? We talked about this last week. When has he been clean in his games? When games are tight, when the opposition is good, when he knows you can't get away with testing.
He
your
didn't
arm.
Even have the throw.
No.
He didn't have the, what do you, like, you know, the one that Michigan bobbles or, you know, the one that gets batted up in the air because you didn't see something. It was, again, he bleeps around in some of the lesser games.
Yep.
But in the games of consequence where it matters, he takes care of the ball. He takes care of the ball, and it's not like he's not pushing the ball down the field.
Let's get to one point on this that I think we may have seen the biggest growth that we're not really talking about all too much right now in this Oregon Ducks team. We'll get to that after Rust with SportsCenter. Something that popped out to me during this game, and we were kind of talking about it in the midst of the broadcast over several instances, but when you put it in totality, we have seen growth in Dan Lanning as a coach this year, as the head coach, in the game management aspect of the game, right? I think there were three things that you can really point to and you could say, all right, this is different. This is something that you're now seeing the guy who is the veteran coach stepping in and also a veteran play caller too, and Will Stein on the other side of the ball. You and special teams, you formation Michigan into a penalty on that punt, which that was a formation I have never seen anybody come out at in punt, where you got seven guys to the right, and then you have one guy out on the left, and then you have your guys back out. Michigan ends up putting a guy over the point, which in any football, you say, all right, if you have a triangle, right, you put a guy over the point. You put him head up over the point man. The point man in that situation was the center, though. Can't do it. 5-yard penalty keeps an Oregon drive alive, right? Like, little things like that. Mm-hmm. You say, how can we formation them into a bind? Well, if they put him on one side or the other, then all of a sudden you have the opportunity to go for it and run a fake. If they don't, and you're on fourth down and three in a position where you're going to be okay with going for it in that situation anyways, If they don't, we're going to get it. We're going to punt the ball away, pin them back, draw a penalty. They draw a penalty, keep a drive alive, get a first down. You have tempo, limiting Michigan's substitutions to where they have 13 guys on the field. You know, down and distance-wise, Will Stein knows that Michigan wants to get their rush package in. All of a sudden, boom, they go up to their Ricky Bobby tempo where they want to go fast.
I want to go fast.
And they catch him with 13 guys on the field. Mm-hmm. Boom, extra yards there. In a game that did not have a lot of penalty yards, those two penalties meant a whole hell of a lot.
Keep it moving.
Kept you moving, right? And then I think the third one that it's not going to get a whole lot of credit because of the way that they move the ball, but Michigan's final drive of the first half, they came out and they were kind of in their 2 minute offense, but they were wanting to get some time off the clock. And they got the ball with 4 minutes and 12 seconds to go. They're in their 4 minute offense, chew some clock up as much as they possibly can. And they got to the point where they get to the 2 minute timeout. Lanning was in a position where, all right, at the 2 minute timeout, they could have called the timeout right before it and then gotten a free timeout at the other side of the 2 minute timeout. He opted to save his timeouts, get to that 2 minute timeout, and they go to a position where Michigan then had to burn a timeout on third down. And instead of saving the time for him, he baited Sherrone Moore in Michigan into a timeout. Mm. They end up getting the ball back with 1:51 and all three of their timeouts remaining, so their offense could go down, and they eventually did score. They scored 7 plays, but they give the ball back with 35 seconds, and they had all three of their timeouts remaining in that. Game management, knowing the clock and being situational with it, Lanning, yeah, I think we're starting to see that growth now, year three of being a head coach.
And I think the big part of that is it's in today's age, we don't want to be patient with young coaches to allow them to make their mistakes. And to look, did Kirby Smart and Nick Saban and Kalen DeBoer, like the top coaches in college football, did they get there because they just started great? Or did they get there because they went through experience and they went through opportunities and they sometimes things worked out for them, sometimes they didn't. Like that's how this goes. Everybody thinks that Nick Saban just showed up at Alabama and just sweat greatness.
He went through it at Michigan State.
And that's the thing, is like you have to go through this. And Dan's so freaking young that it wasn't like he cut his teeth at Toledo or some small MAC school somewhere and had a bunch of experience. This isn't Cignetti at Indiana where he grinds his way up as a head coach through multiple institutions that are smaller that you haven't heard of, and now he gets to Indiana. It's like, yeah, he's got all this practice underneath his belt. That's the thing, is that Lanning, he didn't. He's still so young in his career, not only just as a head coach, but just as a coach in general. This isn't a guy with 20 years of experience. And so, yeah, he's going to go through it a little bit, and now you're seeing that maturation process.
And I think that the important thing about a guy who's only in his third year, we're seeing a team that is very well prepared every week now. They don't seem like anything is catching them off guard. How many times have there been after Ohio State? All right, well, you got Purdue on a short week. This is a bad team. Mm-hmm. How are you going to handle it? Well, 21-0 like that.
Take care of business quick.
You end up winning 35-0. The overlooking opponents, the lack of preparedness for
Illinois trap game or anything like that. None of that was there.
Yeah. And now you got to keep it going now, though, because you got Maryland. And then you got a Wisconsin team that has been a bit of a roller coaster, has been explosive at times offensively.
And been anemic.
See the Iowa game this past week.
Look, I am a known Duck hater, but I will always give credit when it's due, even for teams that I don't like. Oregon is where Oregon is because of Dan Lanning.
He's doing a really good job. That staff is doing a great job.
When I say Dan Lanning, it's the collective. It's all of them. And their ability to continue the work that Cristobal did, building in the trenches, to bring in high-level recruiting classes, to take advantage of the transfer portal, but to win also, not just win in the big places, but win on the margins. And that's the thing is, Oregon won on the margins for years, but they couldn't win in the trenches. And now they're doing both while also having top-end talent. And this is, for me, this is the first time when I look at Oregon and go, that's a national title contender, no questions asked. And that the biggest component of that is what Lanning has been.
Yep. Still need to work on those third quarters. I thought that was really funny. The Jenny Dell interview at halftime. Mm. Where she said it's the Achilles heel of the third quarter. And he's like, I never said that. With a smile on his face, of course. You know, she got the Dan Lanning experience on that one.
There you go.
Where it's like, I never said that. I didn't say that.
It's an Oregon thing.
But the third quarter, again, 3 points. And this is now, I think they've only scored 29 points in the third quarter this season. And third quarter, if you're going to look at one thing they do need to improve, it is that third quarter productivity.
The Blazers and the Ducks are just the handshake meme right now.
Just the third quarter. Well, one is winning, the other is not.
Yeah. Well, because part of that third quarter is
the
also
lack of scoring.
Part of that third quarter is also one of Dan Lanning's biggest things that he focuses on, which is that middle eight.
Middle eight, 4 minutes before the half and 4 minutes after the half. And it hasn't been their friend, but I think that if you were to give Lanning some truth serum on this one, I think what you would get is, you have a team that has been building up big leads before the break. And that there is a bit of human nature that you take your foot off the gas a little bit, especially when you have a defense that does play as well as Oregon's defense does. And then that is the, nope, we need to crank this thing up. And there's always something to build on, right? I think if you were to give Lanning the truth serum on that, he'd be like, I always love to have all of those things that we can build off of when, as he says, you go to the doctor. You go to the doctor, and doctor isn't going to be good about that third quarter this week. All right. Well,
he's going to shine that light in some uncomfortable places.
Like where? All right.
That middle eight.
This is Danny Dusty on the Fan. All right, now is the time. If you were listening to the Ducks post-game scoreboard show, you heard the host tell you about the Bellagio's very best player of the game. Now is the time to text 503-864-6326. That's 503-864-6326 with the Bellagio's Pizza, very best player of the game. And if you are the first one to respond correctly, you will win a free pizza from Bellagio's. Dough and sauce made fresh 6 days a week right here in Wilsonville. Proud to be serving the Northwest community since 1996. Order online at bellagiospizza.com or through the Bellagio's app. Text us, 503-864-6326. Wow, that was quick. Got one. And we got it. Trayshawn Holden was the Bellagio's Pizza very best player of the game.
Didn't even finish the read.
Yeah, right? And it was in. Somebody was listening. Trayshawn Holden, 149 yards, touchdown. And I think there's something really important with Trayshawn Holden, the growth development that we have seen. Trayshawn Holden is a guy that we saw do something that embarrassed himself. We saw him do something that embarrassed the Oregon program, the fan base, all of that. He gets run out of the Ohio State game for spitting on a player, which we talked about this on the Monday following. That's like more disrespectful than swinging on a guy is getting spit on.
Oh yeah. No. And look, this isn't a shot at Trayshawn at all, but if the Ohio State DB decided he wanted to rip his helmet off and smack him across the face, I don't think anybody would have batted an eye, because that's just, it's not what you do, man.
Right.
Like, it's just, you know, but hey, and this again, I don't think it made him the worst human being on the face of the planet. I think in that moment he was a real bleepity bleep, but you pay your penance, you do your time, and you learn from it, and you move on.
This was where that pivot point is, though, because I think it says a lot about Trayshawn Holden. You heard Dylan Gabriel in his comments after the game about Trayshawn Holden, growth, remorse, and trying to do right moving forward. Dan Lanning said the exact same thing after the game, and proud of the way that Trayshawn Holden has handled himself. We were recording the program podcast, and you know, my co-host Cole Linehan said, you know, these are the moments where, yeah, it was a bad situation. Mm-hmm. It was a bad decision. But what did people want to happen? Did you want him just to disappear forever and never play again?
No.
You want to see the redemption arc. You want to see a guy make the steps
forward. We love the comeback story.
And I think that what was what sticks out to me about what Trayshawn Holden did is after that moment, you have that branch in the road, right? You can either shut down and withdraw, or you can continue to plug away. And he saw his starting job get snatched up by Justice Lowe. Playing time went down. Now, Justice Lowe was a guy who was rotating in regardless of the incident before. He was getting more and more run. But after that Purdue game, we've seen Justice Lowe running with that first group when the first offense comes out onto the field. And then in that Michigan game, and this is the thing about Trayshawn that you see on the sideline, and we had him on our interview for the program podcast. You can go download it wherever you get your pods. It's a shameless plug. Mm-hmm. But we recorded that before the Ohio State incident, before anything. You can hear when he was talking about the connectedness and why they celebrate for each other when the receivers make a big play. And he kept that going through when his playing time was going down. His time came. Tez gets hurt. He plays a massive role, yep. 149 yards in that game. Didn't have a touchdown, but big catch on third down to keep the drive alive that ended up icing the game, and Dan Lanning opting to go for it instead of taking a knee late in the game. I know a lot of Michigan fans were upset about that.
He was just salting it away.
Well, I think what that was for Lanning, it was, I don't think he knew that they were 14.5 point favorites and he was trying to cover. I think what that was, it was a
champions cover.
It was a game, and that's going to be on SVP's Bad Beats. You already know.
Oh, yeah.
If it hasn't been already, it'll be on SVP's Bad Beats tonight. But it was an offensive output in that second half that was not great. They had 160 yards in the second half. 90 of them came on that final drive. Yeah. It was, we want to end this thing with an exclamation point and a good taste in our mouth to finish that game. Finish that drive, reward your guys. You ran the hell out of the ball on that final drive. Mm-hmm. That was, I think, the Holden completion was the only pass play on that drive. They ran the ball down Michigan's throat, and they said, we are going to end this thing with an exclamation point. We're not just going to take a knee and say, we could have scored if we wanted to. And every coach in America will tell you, when they take a knee, when you know they could have scored, mm-hmm. that hurts a little bit more.
Oh, come on.
That hurts a little bit more. Bill Belichick said it, you know. He goes, no, I want them to score on us because it's football. I mean, that's what they're out there trying to do. They are trying to score. We are trying to stop them. Just run the damn play, you know. So I don't think he knew that it was a 14.5 point line, but I know that there were a lot of bettors out there that were very thrilled with Oregon getting that final touchdown.
There you go.
Because they covered.
There you go.
They covered.
Champions cover.
They covered. All right, Trayshawn Holden, our Bellagio's very best player of the game. All right, let's get to hour number two here. In hour number two, we got to get to the hometown team, the Portland Trail Blazers. Big news today for the Portland Trail Blazers.
Indeed.
Ooh-wee. But where we got to start hour two, weekend in the NFL, right here on The Fan yesterday. Oh, boy. That was kind of ugly.
Mm.
That's kind of ugly for the old Seahawks.
Ew.
Got to overtime.
But should you have?
No, 103-yard interception return. And we have another coach firing and another big injury across the NFL. Let's get to the National Foosball League next. Danny Adusti on The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.